Christ is risen. Hallelujah. I think that was the loudest hallelujah I've ever heard sung here. We're not the largest crowd I've ever seen, but that was the loudest hallelujah I've ever heard sung. So it was a glorious hallelujah. And with good reason, because tonight, the most amazing event that ever happened in human history has happened. It said in our gospel, when Peter ran to the tomb, he found the burial cloths folded up alone. St. John says they were rolled up and set in a separate place. And then Peter got up and he went home amazed at what he had seen. What did he see? I want you to think about it. If you were going to steal a body from a tomb, you're not going to take the cloth off of the body and take a naked person out of the tomb. You're going to carry the whole person out. In other words, what happened is that Jesus sat up alive, took the cloth off of his body, rolled it up, set it on the side, and then stood up and walked out of the tomb alive. Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. In the year 2000, I was able to go to Turin in Italy. I just started studying the seminary there. I saw the Shroud of Turin. The Shroud of Turin is that cloth that they kept, Peter or someone else preserved, and they've had for 2,000 years. It's the most amazing artifact about Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection in our world. On it, there's blotches of blood where, as he was wrapped in the tomb, would have still bled from his hands, his head, his side, and his feet. But even more amazing, on the shroud is a perfect image of his body at the very moment that he came alive. How do we know that? The image is a photo negative, like if you had film and the light shone and put a photo on the film, which means that at the moment that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, such a powerful light shone out from his body that it literally burned the image of his body into the cloth that was covering him. The parts that were closest to his skin, like the forehead and the nose, that was burned more in those parts. And like his eyes, which were indented a little bit, they're burned a little less. So it's actually even a three-dimensional image that's burned onto the shroud. Now, I don't want you so much to think about the shroud as much as the body of Jesus. That at the moment that Jesus was resurrected from the dead, the life of God entered into him. And like at the transfiguration when he shone with light, the power of the resurrection, the power of God's life was a light that emanated out of his body so powerfully that it literally burned its image into the cloth. That's the power of the resurrection. The shroud is a witness to the reality of what happened in that tomb. My brothers and sisters, that power today lives in us. The exact same power. In baptism, we died with Christ, St. Paul said, and received new life in Christ. We live a new life. We live a life different from the life of the world. Like we sang in that song, what sets this night apart from all of the world. It changes our life, and we live differently than the world lives. We live a new life. We have eternal life already now in our soul. Jesus is present already there in your souls. Can you imagine if every day we lived the power of that? And on the day that we die, that's the power that will bring us to eternal life. Because that's where eternal life comes from. There's no other way to get to heaven. We must be baptized into Christ. Mary Magdalene, the apostles, they knew the power of that life. If you remember the story of Mary Magdalene, but before Mary met Jesus, Mary Magdalene was a great sinner. She was a prostitute. And in her life, through her own sins that she was doing, and probably the sins done to her, probably much abuse, other things in her life, that dark and hellish life that she was living, seven demons possessed her. took possession of her. The moment when Mary Magdalene met Jesus, they portray this in the Chosen series, if you've ever seen that. They're just imagining. We don't know what that moment was like. But they portrayed Jesus speaking her name, Mary, just like he'll do at the tomb when he rises, Mary. And Mary was instantly set free. Set free not just from the seven demons, set free from her old life. From that moment on, Mary lives a new life. She follows Christ. The apostles, some of them were great sinners, some of them were just run-of-the-mill sinners. But all of them knew when they met Jesus that something in their life had to die, and they had to leave it behind to go and to follow Christ. St. Paul says in our second reading today, we know that our old self was crucified with Christ. It died with him. So that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that glory that shone in his body, we too might live in newness of life. We have a new life. It comes in our baptism. Tonight, Kevin Coe is going to be baptized. Kevin was raised and didn't have a lot of faith being raised. He met his wife, Lena, and they got married. Oh, I forgot to ask, how many years has it been? Today is their 17th anniversary. That's awesome. What a powerful day, not only to celebrate your wedding, your vows to each other, but for you, Kevin, to receive and take your vows to Christ and to bring that presence of Christ into your marriage and into your family, right? It was actually Lena's grandma, if I got it right. It took Lena's grandma to get him to take the plunge. Her grandma would always ask Kevin, when are you going to become Catholic? And when she died early last fall, Kevin remembered those last words of hers. And at her funeral, her grandson, who was a priest, was preaching and talking about what it was like for her to be in heaven. When he realized that, I don't know that I'm going there. And he knew the time had come to be baptized. Your grandma's in heaven. And it was her prayers there that are interceding. That's why we're here today. You realize that. Tonight, Kevin's going to be baptized. Kevin, when you get baptized tonight, you're leaving an old life behind. You're living a new life now. You now live a life for God in Jesus Christ our Lord from now on. Not that you never did before, but now it's new. You become a child, a son of God, and you live his life. Janice Smith, she was born Catholic. She was raised in the Malaysia. She was baptized, had her first communion, but then somewhere along the line didn't continue. So she was never confirmed. Janice met Patrick. They got married. They had their first son, Joseph. Many more to come, first one. And their lives were changed. Through that process, she got reconnected to the church. Tonight, Janice is coming to be confirmed. Tonight, Janice, the Holy Spirit will shine the light of God into your soul in fullness. The fullness of the light of God, both you and Kevin, will both be confirmed tonight. And he will pour the light of God into your soul. It'll be poured into you. The power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that filled Jesus, will be in you. And so tonight, you too, Janice, you leave an old life behind. That life is done. And you begin again a new life, living for God in Jesus Christ our Lord. What about us? What's your story? All of us have those dark times and times of resurrection in our life. Resurrection. Which, yes, it'll be the final resurrection. The real resurrection is going to happen when you die. And Jesus raises you to eternal life. Your body becomes filled and raised to the dead at the end of time with the same power that raised Jesus' body. But that power, like I said, that power already lives in you. You have that power in you already now. Can you imagine? What if we lived our lives now already with that power that's in us? When you renew your baptismal vows right after we do the confirmation, the baptism of them, the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to renounce sin and Satan in your life. I'm going to say, do you renounce sin so as to live in the freedom of the children of God? Do you renounce the lure of evil so that sin may have no mastery over you? Do you renounce Satan, the author and prince of sin? And you're going to say, I do. What are you renouncing tonight? What are you renouncing? What sin have you left behind this Lent? Maybe you were able to break free from a sin this Lent. And you want to renounce it and promise in faith to never go back to it ever again in your life. Maybe you've been struggling to renounce a sin, but you haven't quite got rid of it, like most of us. You're still along the way in that. But you've been trying all of Lent, and you come here tonight, and tonight, when you come to those vows, you will renounce that sin. You'll speak the words and say, I renounce it for my past. The old self has been crucified with Christ, and then you will profess faith in Jesus Christ. That faith in you will be renewed. The power of Christ will be placed in you again to help you to continue to die to that old life and to live a new life in Christ. That's the power given to you tonight. The grace you need to continue that battle. Maybe for you it's not so much a sin. Maybe it's just something, maybe a sense of just a negativity that you find creeps in you every so often. Of being judgmental. A sense of anxiety, of doubt, of fear about your life or the world. Whatever it is, just something that you tonight want to renounce and to place in your past and to bury with Christ and to stand and say, I do, and profess your faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I believe in God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Catholic Church, in the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. And you will say, I do. And that same power that filled Jesus enters into you again. You know, this is the first year that we have a tabernacle in our church for the Triduum, as you know. For the first time, you got to experience Jesus literally taken away from us, taken out of our church. The church was empty. Deacon Steve said in his homily on Good Friday that you came into church, it was stark, it was empty, and it's supposed to be that way because this is what life is like without Christ. You see, living in the world, people who live in the world who do not have Jesus, their lives are miserable, you guys. They're miserable. Whether they know it or not, they're miserable. Because there's a thirst in us that is only satisfied by the life that Jesus can give us, by the love that Jesus Christ can give us. When we come here tonight, that presence is renewed tonight. We renew that presence of Jesus here in our church tonight. And when you come up for communion, Kevin, for the first time, when you come up and you receive the Eucharist for the first time, that same life of Jesus risen from the dead enters into you. It's not the dead Jesus that we receive at communion. It's the resurrected Jesus. Yes, the same thing happens here on the altar that happens here. Like I said to Holy Thursday, the same thing happens. But the communion received is not the dead Jesus. The Eucharist is the risen body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ, who is alive right now in heaven. And has placed himself and becomes bread for us so that he can enter into you at the moment of communion. That power of that life enters into you. You receive him. The same power that shone out in his body so powerfully that it literally burned its image into the shroud. You know, as amazing as the Shroud of Turin is, the Shroud of Turin is actually just a symbol of Jesus' old life. The life, that life in Jesus was crucified and died. When Jesus rose from the dead, he left that life behind. He folded it up and set it to the side and walked out alive, fully alive. That's what we do here tonight. Our old self is crucified with Christ. Now we live a new life. We live a life for God and Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.